Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupation could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Vedas into four in order to expand them among men. Purport. Formerly, there was only the Veda of the name Yajur, and the four divisions of the sacrifices were there specifically mentioned. But to make them more easily performable, the Vedas was divided into four divisions of sacrifice, just to purify the occupational service of the four orders. Above the four Vedas, namely the Rig Veda, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva, there are the Puranas, the Mahabharatas, the Mithas, etc., which are known as the fifth Vedas. Sri Vyasadeva and his many disciples were all historical personalities, and they were very kind and sympathetic towards the fallen souls of this age of Kali. As such, the Puranas and the Mahabharata were made from related historical facts which explain the teachings of the four Vedas. There is no point in doubting the authorities of the Puranas and the Mahabharata as part and parcel of the Vedas. In the Chandogya Upanishad 714, the Puranas and the Mahabharatas, generally known as the histories, are mentioned as the fifth Veda. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is the way of ascertaining the respective values of the revealed scriptures. Om Ajnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this particular verse, it is discussed that the original Veda was just one, and by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, he further expanded that one Veda into four Vedas, and then further expanded those into the Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ithyas, the historical facts of knowledge which is given to us. Of course, sometimes when we speak about the Mahabharata or the Ramayana, we think it is just some mythical stories. But it is not a story, as Prabhupada mentions in the Purport. These are all historical personalities. They existed at time. And Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled them in a form which we can very easily assimilate them in terms of knowledge. So this knowledge is for one purpose and only one purpose, and that is to know the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So obviously, if you in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that when creation took place, Lord Brahma appeared first, and on the lotus flower which came from the navel of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma appeared, and Lord Brahma was then confused what is his duty. So he did tremendous meditation for hundreds of thousands of years. Finally, the Supreme Lord gave him the knowledge. That was the first Veda. And it was only the Chatur Shloki. It was only four shlokas. And this knowledge is so dynamic and so concise that everything what we have today in terms of knowledge was put into just four shlokas. Now you can understand that to go very deep into those four shlokas and get the real essence of knowledge is very difficult unless you are an expert. Or even if you're an expert, that expertise comes by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Only if the Supreme Lord wants to reveal this, then this knowledge can be revealed to you. Without the Supreme Lord's blessings, this knowledge cannot be revealed. Of course, here there's a situation where without knowledge, we cannot know the Supreme Lord. At the same time, where do you get the knowledge? Without the mercy of the Lord, you cannot get the knowledge. So therefore, it is very, very difficult to come to that point. So in the In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions very simple process of how we can get this knowledge. This knowledge is easily available to one who approaches a bona fide spiritual master and takes shelter from him. And when one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he approaches him and then submissively inquires. Now, the underlying word is submissive. If one challenges the spiritual master, then he will not reveal the knowledge. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is very specific when he's translating, saying one must make submissive and subjective inquiries from the spiritual master. Tadhidhi pranipratena pariprashina sevaya. Pariprashina means subjective and submissive inquiry from the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is satisfied with your inquiries, he will see that you are now eager to know more knowledge, then he will reveal this knowledge to you. Why he will reveal this knowledge? He's Gyaninash Tattva Darshana. He's a self-realized soul. And his realization comes from the Supreme Lord. And where does the Supreme Lord give his knowledge to the pure devotees? As is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita again, in the 10th chapter, that Tesam Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam. That Krishna says very clearly that if you worship me with Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, worship Bhajatam Priti Purvakam with pure devotion and love, then the Dami Buddhi Yogam, I will give you the intelligence. So the intelligence which we receive, it comes from the original source, Krishna. Krishna is the source of all things which we experience in this material world. So there is no doubt about accepting this. As Prabhupada also mentions in the purport, that there is no question of doubting the authority of the scriptures. These scriptures are there to free the mankind from the bondage of repeated birth and death. Prabhupada many times emphasizes this, if you listen to his lectures, that we are here for only one purpose, and that is to be freed from repeated birth and death. Now, how we can become free from repeated birth and death is by having proper understanding and knowledge that which will lead us to perform devotional service. Without devotional service, we cannot get the knowledge. And devotional service is the bottom line which actually induces us to perform loving exchanges of service to the Lord. By rendering this service, then the Lord becomes pleased and he reveals his knowledge in the heart. So mostly, this knowledge cannot be received externally. We may go to colleges, universities, we may go to many seminars and lectures, and hear knowledge being given to us by different speakers. But this knowledge will only become realized knowledge when we are recipient of the mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord reveals this knowledge in the heart. Obviously, that doesn't mean that we do not read Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada did say one time that I am writing all these books not for making business and selling them. That is not our business. Our business is to first and foremost understand and study these books. And when we study these books, automatically, by hearing the transcendental sound vibration of these holy scriptures, will bring about an atmosphere in the heart which will free us from all contamination, will free us from all misconceptions which has been there for many, many millenniums, for many, many thousands of lifetimes. And when we are free from that, then the Lord in the heart will reveal the knowledge and bring us to the platform of giving us real understanding that the conclusion of all this is to come and understand the Supreme Lord. And when you understand the Supreme Lord, then what is the next stage we have to do is to render service to him. Now, someone who doesn't have very deep understanding of this knowledge would think, why would God give you all the knowledge and then ask you, now that now you have all the knowledge, you come and become my servant, serve me. Now, in our material estimation, we think, why would I want to serve someone? Because from the very beginning, our ego is such that we want to be served, but we don't want to serve. We are very happy if someone comes and becomes our servant and says, yes, I have 5 servants, 10 servants. I have so many people serving me in so many different capacities. And I'm a very happy man because everybody is serving me. That is nourishing my ego. And the more and more people serve me, the more and more my ego becomes bigger. And thinking, yes, I am the Ishwara. I am the controller. And of course, this is the greatest disease, thinking we are Ishwaras. We are tiny little specks. But because of the ego, we are thinking we are Ishwaras. And then due to this, think, why should I serve? And why should I serve God? Why should I serve Him? What is the purpose of serving Him? Of course, He is not concerned whether we serve Him or we don't serve Him. But it is in our interest to serve Him. And Prabhupada explains that when we serve the Supreme Lord, He accepts our service with gratitude. And what does He do then? Krishna explains very clearly Himself. Yatha mam prapayante. As you reciprocate with me, as you serve me, I will serve you also. So Prabhupada explains that it is not a one-way service here, that Krishna is asking, now that you are in full knowledge, you understand what is your position, serve me. But Krishna says, when you serve me, I will also serve you. And Krishna's service to us is far greater than our service rendered to Him. Because when that service for reciprocation is taking place, then that is of a loving bond, which is created, which frees us from all difficulties and all sufferings in the material world. That is why you will see that those who are great saintly persons, who are self-realized and fully absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord, are very happily situated. In any condition, they would be very happy. They would not be bothered at all. But you and I, in our neophyte state, even slightest disturbance comes, we become completely disturbed. And we become completely imbalanced. And we get lost. And due to this, there is so much pain and misery. And then we blame everyone and anyone for the suffering which we are getting due to our own doings. But we don't blame ourselves. Anyone who gets any suffering from any source, of course, as mentioned, adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik, from the one's own mind, from other living entities, from the natural disasters, we'll blame everyone and anyone, but we'll not say that is our doing. Why is that? Because we consider that everybody else is the cause of my suffering. But really, we are the cause of our own suffering. And to be free from our own suffering, we have to understand the conclusion of the Vedas. And here, in this particular verse, Srila Vyasadeva is expanding this knowledge to such an extent that it becomes easily available to us in a very simple form. Now, to understand scriptures, especially if we are not familiar with the language, then it's very difficult to understand. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, He has translated this language into an easily understandable language, which is the language we speak. It is in English. And of course, after Srila Prabhupada translated it in English, He assigned His different disciples from different parts of the world who had expertise in different languages to translate in different languages. So every single person can get access to this knowledge. And as is mentioned here, the purpose of this knowledge is only one and only one, and that is to understand the Supreme Lord. So even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. Anybody remembers that verse? Chapter 15? Text 15. So I will just read the exact translation of Srila Prabhupada. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 15, says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, this is the underlying bit, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So as we can understand, Krishna Himself is giving us a clear understanding here that He is seated in everyone's heart. He is the knower of the Veda. He is the compiler of the Veda. And from Him all this knowledge comes. So who better to give us this knowledge than the compiler Himself? So of course, the compiler Himself comes sometimes, as we understand from the history of Mahabharata, that Lord Krishna came, and at appropriate time, a conducive atmosphere was created for Him to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Because sometimes when we hear about the Mahabharata, and we wonder, right, this is a story, it's a story about good over evil, and why did not Krishna, who is the friend of the Pandavas, give Yudhishthira Maharaj good guidance? And he would have told Yudhishthira Maharaj that, look, this gambling business is not good for you. And even though you may be an expert at this game of dice, but your opposition are cheaters. And by hook or by crook, they will make you lose. And because you are a Kshatriya, you believe in principle that if a challenge is thrown to a Kshatriya, he will not step back. He will give his life, he will lose his life for the sake of taking the challenge. Because for a Kshatriya to step back, it is considered a great dishonor. And dishonor is worse than death. So here, we would have thought, Krishna, who is well-wisher, if we have studied the Mahabharata, we see Krishna is always well-wishing the Pandavas. So why in this incident did not Krishna give good guidance to Yudhishthira Maharaj and said, look, this gambling business is not good because it will lead to tremendous difficulties which you don't foresee now, but I can see them. But Krishna wanted this to happen, because when Yudhishthira Maharaj lost everything, then the conducive atmosphere was developed, and Duryodhana's ego was even bigger and bigger, thinking, yes, now I am the controller. And Krishna wanted to show who is the actual controller. So he created this situation. Therefore, the battle of Kurukshetra came about. Krishna created the situation for this battle to take place. And why was this battle? It was not just a battle to kill the miscreants, as we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhuna vinasaya cha duskritam, to kill the miscreants. No, that is just a side effect. Krishna had come to give knowledge, because this knowledge is the only thing which can free us from darkness. And when we are freed from our darkness and illusion, and we are in knowledge, then this knowledge will slowly guide us to the righteous path, as everything mentioned in the scriptures saying, I am to be known by this. And the only way we can know Krishna is by understanding this knowledge. So Krishna comes Himself personally to speak the message of Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is instructing us step by step how to come to the highest platform, till we come to full surrender. And of course, when we come to the full surrender, still Krishna is so kind, as I said, that sometimes because of our ego, we think, why I should serve Him? Why He's forcefully asking us to serve Him? Is there no other way? Of course, Krishna is saying that also in the Bhagavad Gita, that after you have come to full understanding and knowledge, where Krishna is saying to Arjuna in the 18th chapter, now that I have given you the most confidential knowledge, I have revealed you the secret of the secret knowledge. You know exactly what to do now. Still, I am not asking you to surrender at this point. But I am asking you one thing. You deliberate on this now. Think about it. And when you have thought well, then you take next step. And whatever your action is, I will gladly accept it. So Krishna is telling you very clearly that it's your choice. And that is why this whole process of Krishna consciousness is based on loving exchange. And love is something that cannot be forced from anyone. It is given freely by oneself. And whatever you give from yourself, That is called a loving, in a loving mood, in loving spirit. Otherwise, it's not love. You know, there are many instances where situations in material world arises that I say, you know, you are a very wealthy man and many people want to hang around with you and they will make a show of affection and love for you. Why? Not because they love you as a person, but they love your money, they love your wealth, they love your opulence. That's why they want to hang around with you. The minute you say, look, I have now decided that all this wealth I have is of no use to me, I am going to give it all to different charities. I'm going to give it all away. I'll have nothing left. The minute you sign that document that all your wealth and opulence is given away to charity, how many friends are going to be around you? None. They will all abandon you like a sinking ship. Or you can put a gun in someone's head and say, you love me or else. Oh yes, yes, I love you very much with all my heart. Because you know, if you don't, you'll end up a dead person. So circumstances are such that we can force people to love you, but that is not love. It is just so-called love in the material context. But real love is that you just do simply whatever you do as a service, as an offering to the Lord, is out of your free will. And of course, we understand from scriptures that by the Lord's mercy, that He has given every living entity free choice, free will. How we practice this free will is up to us. That at least that independence is given us. But along with that independence of free will, Krishna is very kind that He also gives us intelligence to know between right and wrong. But sometimes, even though knowing what is right, we do the wrong. Why? Because we are overwhelmed by the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, and therefore we think that the wrongdoings doesn't matter. Because the ultimate goal of my happiness will be there. So you do everything wrong, and then you find that the happiness which was supposed to be there is not there anymore. Then you blame everyone again. So therefore, Krishna is saying that you do this devotional service, and that is why it's a devotional service, not saying service, devotional service. And devotional service is one which is offered through love. So when we have a loving service to the Lord, then obviously the Lord reciprocates, as I said, ye tamam prapiyante. He will reciprocate with us, and that loving exchange is so wonderful that the feeling of happiness, which is uncomparable in the material world, you cannot compare the happiness you derive by being with the Lord to anything in the material world. Although in the material world, we have experience many different forms of happiness, or different levels of happiness, but those happiness are nothing compared to the happiness derived by having a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So these exchanges with the Supreme Lord can be understood by the scriptures giving us descriptions of great, wonderful Vaishnava devotees who are fully dedicated to the Supreme Lord. Especially when we read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where all the wonderful residents of Vrindavan, the Brajbasis, are completely in awe and reverence and love for Krishna, that they will do anything for Krishna. Especially we hear the pastimes of the gopis, that as soon as they hear the flute of Krishna, sound vibration coming in the ether of the air, of the Braj air, what do? They drop everything and they rush to Krishna. They don't care for anything. Even to the point where Prabhupada explains in a very nice description that the gopis are cooking, the milk is on the boil, and everything is there. And as soon as they hear Krishna, they drop everything. They don't care if the food is going to get burnt or not. You know, they're taking care of the little babies. They drop the babies and go to Krishna. Of course, you know, in the material sense, you know, if the mother neglects the baby, it is considered very, very unfortunate for the poor child. And also the mother will not be looked upon with all respect. you know, any mother who kind of neglects the child is considered a terrible mother. But here the gopis, they even neglect their children and rush to serve the Supreme Lord. Now we don't find anywhere in the Bhagavatam the descriptions that the gopis are described as terrible mothers just because they neglected their children and rushed to serve Krishna. Because of course the highest is to serve Krishna. And if we have to give up everything for Krishna, then there is nothing wrong in it. But we find that even in the material world today, if someone wants to give up something for Krishna, especially young people who are fortunate recipients of this transcendent knowledge through our Sankirtan devotees, they're out there in the streets and stopping some persons. Of course, I don't say that we discriminate, that we only approach young people, but generally we find young people are more approachable and appreciate and give you time than the older ones. And this is my experience, at least, that when you approach an elderly person, excuse me, sir, can you spare a moment? No, thank you. And they just walk away. When a young guy, hey, yeah, what's going on, man? Let me check it out, you know. So the thing is that, but anyway, the point is that this young person is somehow a recipient of the transcendental mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He receives one of the books and he reads the book and he finds out, wow, this is such a wonderful knowledge here. I must surrender. So then he decides to join the Hare Krishna, and he tells his mom and dad, hey mom, hey dad, guess what? I found the real mission in life, the truth about life, the existence. I'm going to become a Hare Krishna monk. And what happens? He's giving up his family for Krishna. And what happens? The mother and father, wow, son, we are so happy. You found a mission in life. You're going to join the Hare Krishnas. Finally, you'll be out of this material world, free from death, free from repeated birth. No. They will probably take you and lock you up in the room. Of course, I was just going through, reading some of the memoirs of different devotees. And one of the things which struck me that in the early 70s, when young people were becoming devotees, especially in America, you know, the parents were not very happy. They would immediately go and hire with lots and lots of money to these deprogrammers and say, look, my son, my daughter is gone with the Hare Krishnas. You know, bring them back. And they would do crazy thing to kidnap you and then lock you up in a room and try to deprogram you from the Hare Krishna knowledge to the materialistic knowledge. You know. Anyway, the point is, nobody's happy to surrender. So here, at least in this verse, it is mentioned very nicely that the knowledge is coming to us in a most accessible way. Even the most uneducated person can get this knowledge. Maybe he's not educated, but at least he has got one very important principle, and which is the principle of hearing. And he can hear the transcendental subject from one who is in knowledge. And by hearing this, even one who is uneducated, he or she also can be recipient of this knowledge. And today, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this knowledge is so freely accessible in every nook and corner of the world that nobody can say that I don't have this knowledge. It's a different matter whether you accept this knowledge or not, but this knowledge is freely given everywhere. And the devotees are very enthusiastic to give this knowledge. In the same spirit here, as is mentioned here, that many, many disciples of Srila Vyasadeva were also very enthusiastic and giving this knowledge to everyone. So in the same spirit, we are also followers of Srila Vyasadeva, giving this knowledge to everyone. But important point is that not only we should give this knowledge to everyone, but we should also acquire this knowledge ourselves. Because the only way we can give this knowledge is if we have knowledge. If I don't have any knowledge about the subject, then how is it possible for me to give? So therefore, it is very important for us to read Srila Prabhupada's books and gather this knowledge. And as we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more and more our hearts will become pure, it will be free from all contamination, and this knowledge will be revealed to us by Krishna. As is mentioned in, as I just read the verse, Krishna is in our hearts. From our heart, he gives the knowledge. There's another verse where it says that if you have implicit faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed in the heart. So we must have implicit faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. And words of Krishna is there in the forms of scriptures. Words of the Gurus is there that he repeats the same words which are given in the scriptures. So we can actually be recipient of both the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And through that, all the knowledge will be revealed in the heart. We don't have to make separate endeavor. But the process is that we must follow this stated process of Krishna consciousness. And that is why Srila Prabhupada was very, very much enthusiastic to translate these books for our benefit so that we would read them. And therefore, I say that by the mercy of Vyasadeva, he has compiled all his knowledge in the most simplest form which we can understand. Of course, sometimes, you know, due to our deranged minds, when we read in the Bhagavad Gita and say, and also in other places is mentioned, that the Ramayana and the Mahabharata are meant for women and children and Shudras. So we are so deranged persons. We think, I am educated, I am a Brahmana, I am higher. So this is meant for women and Shudras. But unfortunately, you don't understand the conclusion of Kali Yuga's description. Kalo sambhava Shudra. That in Kali Yuga, everybody is Shudra. So what are we so proud? Women and Shudra and children. We are also in that category, if you think you are any higher. Only by the mercy of the Guru, you are elevated to the Brahmanical level. And what is Brahmanical level or Brahmana is not that you get a thread and you receive Brahman initiation and you get a Gayatri mantra and you think you are a Brahmana. No. Brahmana is one who knows Brahman, who knows the Supreme. That is a Brahman. So if you don't know the Supreme Lord, then the thread or the Gayatri mantra given to you on your Diksha or second initiation is of no value. You have to know the Supreme. So we don't have to be proud of anything. Really speaking, we should understand our insignificant position and simply accept in our humble position that I am so fortunate that this knowledge has come to me, and through this knowledge, I am now on my path of being freed from repeated birth and that. And that is the bottom line. Otherwise, if we start thinking, oh, I am very, very knowledge, my knowledge is much better, so I am in a position to give knowledge, then we are in illusion, and that is false ego. And false ego will never ever allow you to understand the Supreme Lord. Because when we approach the Supreme Lord, we should be free from all ego. Of course, in our tradition, when we enter the temple building, you know, we have shoe racks out there, shoe racks in the front here, and by accident is some person who's in no knowledge and walks into the corridor with shoes. Excuse me, sir. Or madam, please. Shoes outside. Of course, that is not because the shoes are considered dirty. When you take your shoes off outside and enter the house of the Lord, you are actually making a symbolic gesture that all my falseness, all that I think I am, I'm leaving behind. I'm leaving there and I'm coming here as Mr. Nobody. And when you come in here as Mr. Nobody, then you'll understand Mr. Somebody. Because Krishna is somebody, and you and I are nobody. Unless and until you are connected with the Supreme, then you become somebody. Why? Because you are in relation, you are in connection with the Supreme. And therefore your significance is important. Otherwise your significance is unimportant, it's insignificant. That is why we call. And Prabhupada is very nicely using the word that the living entity is insignificant. Why use the word insignificant? To make that point that we are insignificant. So therefore, we should understand our position that we are recipient of this knowledge And that knowledge is for only one purpose, and that is to understand the Supreme Lord. And by understanding the Supreme Lord, we serve Him. So before I conclude, just one very nice point was made to me recently. It said that wherever you are now, you know, by the facilities of Google Map, you can find your location. So all you have to do is go on your smartphone, your computer, wherever you have facilities with Google, and you just put Lechmore Heath, and shoom, Lechmore Heath will zoom in. And you can see exactly where you are in Lechmore Heath. And you go further zoom in, you'll find the village of Lechmore Heath, and then the Bhaktivinoda Manor building will be there. And even further zoom, you'll probably find the location of the temple room, in which part of the building it is located. But more important now is you zoom out. And you zoom out and zoom out so far that you go right to the top where the satellite is situated, and will show you the round earth planet. And then from that point, you try to find out where is Lechmore Heath and Bhaktivinoda Manor on that. And in that Bhaktivinoda Manor, where you are, how significant you will be able to see in the cosmic relationship. You won't be able to find yourself. All you will see is a round ball. So what are we so proud of? Therefore, we have to understand we are very insignificant. Our significance is only there when we are connected with the significant, that is the Supreme Lord. And through this knowledge, we can actually come to that platform of understanding the Supreme Lord. And then when we realize that, then we will be happy to engage in devotional service. Otherwise, devotional service also seems sometimes as a big burden to us. And so, why I have to do it? Why? And then we very quickly we kind of give up the practice of Krishna consciousness and go out into the material world and thinking, well, I'm a happy man, until misery comes again. And it comes every time, because what goes round comes round also. So therefore, we should consider ourselves fortunate that we have access to this knowledge. Although we are not expert enough to understand the Veda, no problem. It has been expanded all the way up to now, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and many of the other literatures which are available to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And this knowledge is sufficient to free us from darkness and take us back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments, any questions, feel free.